You are listening to Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.
Well, guys, we have worked really diligently to make sure that this is not just a Sunday morning style series, but we really want to create some pieces, some elements for you that would maybe assist you in making sure that Missions Month walks out the door with you. If you're watching online, make sure to check out the Missions webpage because a lot of these pieces are digital as well. But I want you guys to do me a favor. My name's Candace, by the way. I always forget to introduce myself. There is this missions newsletter. It's the Reach newsletter, which is found in the seat backs in front of you. Can you guys pull this out for me real quick? What I want is for every household to at least have one of these when you leave. If you kind of brought like nine folk with you, maybe you don't need nine, but make sure you guys take at least one for your household. And what I want you guys to do is to allow yourself time this week. Take this with you. Don't let it get shuffled in the papers. Don't leave it in your car. That's my big thing is I'll sometimes leave the important documents in the car. But take this with you because it really is a resource for this season. Pastor Chad has worked hard on making sure that we stay not only partnered with like One Direction with our ministry partners, like we send them help, but he's making sure that we actually stay in tune with what they're doing and what their current needs are. And so he has compiled this resource for you that tells us exactly what each ministry partner is currently doing and what their current needs are. And this helps us stay informed. Okay, so turn in your book. So do it with me. Just turn to the very first page. You see a nice picture of Pastor Chad in there. And then on that second page, it says 2023 missions. 2023 missions. So that means next year, we are going on three different mission trips as a church. That's one of the things that during 2020, when everything shut down, our passports became less valuable because we couldn't travel anymore. And traveling to our missionary partners is a big part of what Koinonia is about. And so I'm super pumped to show you that we're going to three different trips. There's four actually, but one of them is just for pastors. And so there are three opportunities for you to potentially actually go on a mission trip. What I want you to do is to mark November 13th. It's a really important day for two reasons. It's actually three reasons. We're going to do baptisms that day, and I'm looking forward to it. I've been praying for this baptism Sunday for a long time. November 13th, we're going to have our missions interest meeting. And so here's what you got to do is ask yourself, not am I interested in a missions trip, but Lord, are you interested in me attending and being a part of a mission trip this year? And so you want to mark your calendar. If the Lord starts to plug it in your heart that you need to start to show some interest, this meeting is for you. And November 13th is also Pledge Sunday, and I'll share a little bit more about that. But go ahead and turn to the next page. You'll see on the top it says Global Missions. We are a part of both global, which means the entire world. We don't sponsor every single country, but we want to make sure that the United States is not the limit of what we believe God wants us to partner with. There are other countries. And so these are some of the countries and organizations that we partner with. And I want to highlight just one. We'll highlight a few each week. Turn to the next page. It says Helping Hands Mexico. This is an organization that we have been involved with for many, many years. Pastor Blake, who is our former lead pastor, he started this connection. And this is an area in the community of La Roca. And they help feed kids throughout the day. They feed them. It's just a practical need. But in that community, while parents are off at work, a lot of kids, it's part of the culture that the little kids are left unattended. And when the little kids are left unattended, they're finding that the bigger kids who kind of maybe have started to get into trouble, they pull the little kids into trouble earlier. And so this organization was started in order to give the younger kids a safe place to eat and hang out and be cared for so they're not getting swept up in a lot of the mischief that's happening in the older generations there. But they've actually started to begin to take that ministry a step further, and they're helping with things like educating families on how to say no to violence within the home. They're starting to teach them how education's a really invaluable part of their community, and how educating their kids, making sure their kids value what happens at school, will start to change the trajectory of their family. They're doing amazing, amazing work with Helping Hands, and we're honored to be partnered with them. Turn two more times. Let me hear those pages. And then you'll see on the top of the very final page, it says local missions. Because while we keep our eyes on the entire globe, we never want to miss what God is doing in our own backyard. And so local missions are some of the ministry partners that just here in Kings County that we are partnered with. And I wanted to highlight King's Gospel Mission. I don't know if you've driven around lately, but homelessness is an area of need in our community. I believe that the enemy is getting, he's getting excited because I think that he thinks that that's an issue that he's winning at. But I do believe that the Lord has something to say about homelessness. He has something to say about those who are vulnerable in many, many different ways and capacities. And an organization like King's Gospel Mission, they're putting their faith mark and they're drawing a line that says, you know, we're going to be a part of this. We're going to be a part of seeing people who once were homeless, they're going to now have a home. We're actually going to build them homes. We're going to give them tools so that they can have a job and keep a job. We're going to give them tools so that when they have money, they know how to keep their money. They're doing ministry in a lot of different avenues to eradicate homelessness in Kings County, and it is amazing what they are doing. And so we are very proud to be a part of King's Gospel Mission. So I would encourage you, don't throw this away. Go and read and figure out what are we doing? Who are we partnered with and why? And how can I be praying for them? Okay. And so that's one piece of this incredible Missions Month package that we have for you. There's this card that's also in your seat backs. This is also in digital form online, but I want you to get this card out. This is your pledge card. What was the date that I told you that was really important to remember? November 13th, because on November 13th, that's Pledge Sunday. And what we want to do is on Pledge Sunday, we're going to pledge to do one of three things. When I say pray, you say pray. 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 When I say give, you say give. 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 When I say go, you say go. 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 You guys are so great. That is our mantra for Missions Month, pray, give, go. And that's how we frame the areas and possibilities of connection. That's how we frame the possibilities of involvement. We can pray for our missionaries. We can give financially and of our time, and we can actually go and be a part of reaching, the lost for the Lord. And so on Pledge Sunday, start praying now. How do you want me to commit, Lord, in 2023? How do you want me to invest? How do you want me to partner? Because I don't believe the Lord just wants the other person to partner. He's calling you. He's calling you. He's calling you at least to pray. He's calling you probably to sacrifice and give. And he's probably telling you to go somewhere, okay? And so take this. There's two pieces. The bottom part is for you to fill out your commitment, because we do want to know, like, man, we have 500 households praying for missions this month. That's a significant thing that we want to know. We want to be able to track. And so you're going to eventually tear off that bottom part and turn that in, but you keep the top part so you don't forget what you said you were going to do, right? Have you guys ever like filled out a thing like, I promise, blah, 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 and you like send it in and then we're like, you didn't do it. And you're like, oh, I forgot. So this is for you to keep on your refrigerator. If you go and look at my fridge, I have all my weird church commitments that I make. They're not weird. I take it back. They're not weird. I have all my amazing church commitments, but I really do. I keep it on my fridge and it helps me remember what I'm doing. And last but not least, you don't have access to this here in this building or in this room, but out on the lobby, there's a whole display for Missions Month with some beautiful pictures from some of our mission trips. And there is this fun activity. So this is just a fun way to make sure that every single day you have an opportunity to say, what's new for Missions Month today? What is today? So this has the amount of days that are included in our missions month, and every single day what you would do is you would wake up and maybe together as a family you scratch off one of the next little area, and there's a challenge for you. Okay, you don't get to know what the challenge is, and I feel like for me that really accurately represents what it's like to go before the Father and say, what do you want me to do, God? What do you have for me today? I don't often know what he's going to tell me to do, but my posture is, whatever you tell me, I'm going to do. Whatever you tell me, Lord, I'm going to go. Whatever you tell me to give, I'm going to give. And so my challenge for you guys is to take one of these cards, take one for your household, and then you scratch one off each day. Let me tell you, this is going to stretch you. It's going to require some sacrifice. It's going to require you to get outside of your comfort zone. But all things good, all things given to us by the Lord, do just that. But it should be fun. Okay, so some of these things, it says like write a note to a missionary and send it off. Here's their email. Like those are really cool and important things for us to do. So that is the missions package. That's all I have for you guys. So let's welcome up Pastor Chad.
I promise for the rest of my time up here, I will not make you do a cheesy chant. I think Pastor Candace missed her calling as a cheerleader. My lips were tightly sealed with that kind of stuff. I'm super excited to get to speak to you guys today. This morning I was just thinking of how lucky we are to have such a wonderful lead pastor, Pastor Andrew, and how he is stirring up this hunger. Of course, it's the Lord, but the Lord is leading him to lead us. And I just felt like in this last season, there seems to be this hunger amongst people. This morning I could hear it in worship, that people want more. People want more. And prayer was such a vital part to that we've established some prayer things in our church, the Friday morning prayers, the how to pray, the praying in the group. Last couple Wednesdays ago, we're in my group, and I have a group of guys that meet on Wednesday, and some of them have never prayed before or intimidated to pray. And one of the guys last week brought up an issue that was happening to one of his friend's daughter. And they, like a group of the guys, stayed afterwards and said, "Well, let's pray." And so we got in a circle, and a guy who wasn't very comfortable with praying before, he says, I'll lead it. And he started leading the prayer, and it wasn't just like we're all listening to this guy pray, but I actually heard every single guy. They were praying along with the guy, like, God, move on her behalf. And Stacy was in the group, Jason was a couple of guys. It was just a powerful moment. It's like, man, God is stirring something up in people. And I'm excited to continue the stirring up, because I believe the Lord wants to stir us up even more than we already are. And my sermon this morning is called Move Brokenness, Get Out of the Way. And it's from, that has been inspired by the famous cultural philosopher of Ludacris. And apparently none of you guys listen to Ludacris, because that wasn't funny. But as I am speaking today, just let that soundtrack play in your head with, of course, the censored one. As we go into missions, we've pretty much said everything we want to say, but I just want to say this. There's this old saying that out of sight, out of mind. And as the missions pastor, but not just a missions pastor, but a pastor of this church, I know how valuable it is to remind ourselves of our values. If I could sum up the mistake of the God's people from Genesis to Revelation, you know what it was? They forgot. They just kept forgetting how good God was. They kept forgetting of all the different things. And so we want to make sure that our values are in front of us so we don't forget. And the Great Commission is such a vital value of the church, to go out and make disciples, that we have to keep reminding ourselves of this. But as I think about Koinonia, I think that missions isn't just a command that we have from Scripture. It's part of who we are. My family actually started coming to Koinonia because we heard of this outreach that Koinonia was doing for New Year's Eve called Party for Life. Anybody ever heard of that? Something we've done for years, right? Some of us have a big disdain for it because you have to stay up all night. But I remember at junior high, there's a church that's going to have a party for kids. Let's go dump them off over there. And because of that outreach, my family heard about Koinonia and we started coming to Koinonia. We have outreaches like The Pantry, who was started by Ray and Judy Almos about 20 years ago, that's looked around and said, well, what are the needs of our community? Oh, they need food. They need help. And they started this ministry that today serves about 300 families a month. The first time I went on a missions trip, I was 15 years old. I went with the youth group to Mexico, and I saw poverty like I never saw before. And as I'm there in Mexico, one of our people that were part of the group got sick. We had to go to a local hospital. The doctor at that local hospital was highly underpaid. She just had an infant child and had a hard time buying formula. I remember at the age of 15 feeling my heart break so much, where I emptied my pockets for this lady. The first time I went to overseas was with Koinonia. We went to Cambodia and we got to hang out with orphans and pray for widows. I got really sick on that trip, which if you've been on a trip overseas, you know that can happen. And I remember God revealing to me at a young age that the gospel was worth it no matter how uncomfortable it was to me. Koinonia is not just charged through scripture. It isn't just a commission from scripture. It's part of who we are. And I know many more that are sitting in these chairs that have been changed by some type of outreach. Maybe you're here today because of an outreach, or you've been on a trip of some sort, right? And you have grown into missions isn't just something I like. It's who we are. It's who I am. And that's my prayer. Last year, this house gave $162,000 to local and global missions. It's crazy, right? You know what's even crazier? That number is made up about 100 people that had given. Do the math on that. 160,000 divided by 100, $16,000 per household, $16,000 divided by 12 because there's 12 months in a year. That's about $135 per family that said, hey, I'll give to missions. We have about 1,000 to about 1,200 adults that attend this church every Sunday. What if just half of the church said yes? What if half the church said, I'll give $100? And this isn't me trying to guilt you. It's to see the vision of what God can do with the people that say yes. God can do something amazing if we just say yes. God's plans will be fulfilled one day. God's work, he has work for us. Can we just say that together? God has work for us. Sorry, I said I wasn't going to do a cheesy chant, and I did it. I was wrapped up by the spirit of Candace. God, forgive us. Let's go in deep repentance right now. But the manifestation of God's kingdom will always feel like it's in a distance if we're not a people that say yes to his work. Let's say yes to his work. And as we do, that's going to be the deciding factor of whether we see that promise come to fruition firsthand. Because God's going to fulfill his purposes. He doesn't lie. Things that he said is going to happen are going to happen. The difference is, are you going to be there or not? Our response to God's work has to be from a different spirit. And this different spirit, I want to just give a definition really quick, because I'm not adding a fourth person to the triune God. This different spirit is about having a resolve to say yes to God and his work despite the obstacles that stand in our way. A different spirit chooses to have faith when they should be fearful. A different spirit decides to have courage and to respond in courage rather than brokenness. It stands in the face of giants, right? It says when everybody else is saying no, it says yes. When the enemy comes up against them with all the artillery and all of the accusations that he has, instead of them listening to that, they move forward. A different spirit gives generously because they know that building God's kingdom is not about comfort for our own kingdom. A different spirit will jump on a plane for 12 hours to travel across the seas to encourage a missionary that's barely holding on. A different spirit will take their lunch hour. Instead of eating, they'll fast and pray for the nations. This is the type of spirit that we must possess to reach the unreached. I believe God wants to send out to the rest of the world. He wants to send out missionaries like he's never sent before. He wants to raise up pastors like he's never raised before. He wants to raise up evangelists in the church like he never has before. But we will not do it if we have the spirit that says no. We will not do it if we function in our brokenness. We have to function in a different spirit. And that different spirit says, yes, I don't care what the obstacles are. I don't care how much it costs. I don't care how uncomfortable it is, God. I'm going to say yes to you. And when we do, what we begin to see is the manifestation of God's kingdom right in front of our face. We'll begin to step into his promises. But the truth is, not all of us will say yes. And that's what breaks our hearts. Could you guys turn with me to Exodus 6? And my message, of course, is move brokenness, get out of the way. And we're going to read kind of the history of Israel. And if you know Israel, if you've seen the movie The Prince of Egypt, you know that Israel was in captivity under the Egyptians' hand for 400 years. And one day God here says, comes to Moses and says, I've heard the cry of your people, and I'm going to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Not only am I going to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians, but I'm going to establish Israel as my people, and I'm going to give them their own land. I'm going to bring them to the land that I promised their forefathers. And so in Exodus 2, we pick up in verse 2, it says, God spoke to Moses and he said to them, I'm the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. But my name, the Lord, I did not make known to them. I established my covenant to them and gave them the land of Canaan, the land of which they lived as sojourners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the people of Israel, whom the Egyptians hold as slaves, and I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out of I'll bring you from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery. I will redeem you, and I will outstretch my arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into a land that I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give you a possession. I am the Lord. Wow, what a great promise. Man, wouldn't we love to hear that from God? He's going to set us free. God, you're going to move us forward. You're going to establish us as a people of you. Then Moses, thus the people, or he says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, or excuse me, the Moses spoke to the people of Israel, and look at how they responded. But they did not listen to Moses because of their broken spirit and their harsh slavery. They couldn't hear the promises of God because how they were positioned. The Hebrew word for listen is shema. And this word shema isn't just like I've heard you. This word shema is hearing with the attachment to the intention to obey. That to shema, to hear correctly, isn't just to hear physically, but it's to obey what has been said. And so the people of God, right, heard Moses physically, but they couldn't believe it in their hearts. They couldn't shema. And the reason they couldn't shema is why? They were broken in their spirit and they were physically held captive before their enemies. The Bible assumes that when we hear God speak and he says, listen, that we're ready to respond. In the ancient Hebrew, there's not even a word for obey. You know what the word is? It's shema. I believe that the root of Israel's disobedience and the root of our disobedience has to do and is really said at the end of this passage. They couldn't shema because of their broken spirit. For those of you who have known me, I I've been in this church for a long time, since I was 12 years old. And I've dealt with weight issues probably my whole life, going up and down. And if you've ever dealt with obesity, dealt with weight issues, you know that it's not always a simple equation. Eat less, exercise more. But if you've been in the situation, you know that there's layered issues within this very thing that come and kind of pull you back into it. I've read statistics before where it says that 80% of people who lose weight end up gaining more than half of that back within 2 years. And it's just this cycle, right, that sucks you in, makes you feel less than, makes you feel worthless at times. But the truth is that you don't have to deal with the weight issue to know what I'm talking about. Fill in your blank, please. It could be anger. It could be lust. It could be whatever that thing that the enemy begins to grab ammunition with, and he makes you to feel less than, or to pull you away from what God has called you, because he begins to attack you for the things that have just pulled you back in it, and you feel like you're on this hamster wheel. That's what the enemy likes to do. It likes to accuse. And this is exactly what I'm talking about when I talk about a broken spirit. It's this. It's to destroy someone's sense of self, which causes you to question your identity. It often makes you feel worthless. Beginning of this year, I'm praying before God, and I'm crying out to God in my devotional time. God, help me. I need help with this. And he's been working on the broken spirit and the issue that are within that. But I remember praying this, and as I'm praying, I'm also reading the Bible, and I just happen to be in Exodus, and this is where the heart of the message really comes from. And I remember reading Exodus and reading this about a broken spirit. The people couldn't hear. God is trying to say things to them, give them promises, have them go forward, and what are they can't even believe it. And I remember reading this, and God said this to me, Chad, I have not given you a spirit of brokenness, but I've given you a different spirit. And right when he said that, I remember Numbers 13. Numbers 13 is a guy named Caleb. And now, 6 months later, after God has literally set the captives free, have literally taken Israel out of the hand of Israel out of the hand of the Egyptians, right? You remember the story? He splits the Red Sea. He does all the 10 plagues. He takes them into the desert. While they're in the desert, they have this encounter with God on Mount Sinai, where they literally hear the voice of God, and they all fall on their face. They get hungry, and God brings them spiritual food from heaven. Not spiritual food, physical food from heaven, right? He brings water out of a rock. He leads them by a pillar of fire at night and a cloud by day. These people have seen the hands of God, and now they're right at the border, their border of the promised land, and they're standing there, and they can see the promises of God. And then they begin to want to turn back and to shrink down because the enemy has not released them. Maybe they are released physically, but how they've been thinking, right? The broken spirit inside of them made them want to turn around. Would you guys turn with me in Numbers 13? Let's read how they responded. So at the end of the 40 days, they returned from spying out the land. So God says, Moses, send in the 12 spies into the land so they could check it out, see if it's everything I said it would be. And they came back to Moses and Aaron to tell the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them, to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them, we came to the land which you have sent us. We came back from the land you have sent us. They brought back word to the congregation, showed them. Oh, excuse me, I just got lost. And it flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of Negeb. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the hill country, and the Canaanites dwell at the sea along the Jordan. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses, and he said, let's go up and occupy it. Let's go up and take it, for we shall overcome. And then the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go against those people, for they are stronger than we are. So they brought the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people that they saw in it there are great of great height. And there they saw the Nephilim, and we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, so they seemed to them. Continuing in chapter 14, then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. And the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, would we have died in the land of Egypt, or would we have died in this wilderness? Why is the Lord bring us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives, our little ones will become prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt? And then they said one to another, let's choose a different leader and go back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the people of Israel. And Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who among those who had spied out the land, they tore their clothes and said to all the congregation, the people of Israel, the land which we have passed through to spy it out, this is exceedingly good. The Lord delights in us. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread to us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear. Then all the congregation said, stone them with stones. But the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent in the meeting of the people of Israel, and the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people despise me? How long will they not believe in me, in spite of the signs that I have done among them? What a tragic story. Slaves, the things they've been crying out, God save us. God brings them out of the hand of Egypt. Does all these miracles among them. They're at the border of the promise. They can see it. It's everything that God said it would be. But they are fearful of the things they had to continue to walk in. And so they got there, and what do? Let's head back the other way. Let's go back to our bondage. How many times have we been in that place where God says, hey, I want to do something in your life? Step this way. Take this step of faith. But that faith step seemed so big. We started to think through it. We wanted to Shema. We wanted to be obedient to what God has says, that God said to us. But then that willingness to be obedient was sucked away and taken away by that brokenness. I don't know if I could do that, God. I don't know if I could step back from that relationship. I don't know if I can stop doing that. God, what you've asked is way too much. I'm just going to kind of sink back this way. And then you hear God saying, why do you despise me? Why do you not listen to me? Why don't you trust me? Because that's the real issue here, right? It wasn't fear. Fear only uncovered that they didn't trust God. Why don't you trust God? Man, God, forgive us for being people like this. And there's something about being, not only that, is that when you become that people that is fearful, right, doesn't want to step forward, you begin to bring people around you down as well, right? They said, let's get rid of these guys who are talking crazy. They're going to get us killed. And they wanted to stone the guys that said yes to God. Man, God, forgive us. Forgive us for bringing people that are saying yes to God, for bringing them down. Man, the Calebs in the room, the Calebs that say, the people that say, yes, I want to go, God. Yes, let's go forward. I'll do it. I'll whatever it costs, whatever I have to do, I'm going forward. If you're that this morning, don't let the majority bring you down. Because you have the power to begin to switch things around. And we'll find out here in a little bit, but Caleb moved forward into the promised land, and he just didn't move forward into the promised land, but it said that his descendants came and possessed it as well. His whole family came with him. God has something for the Calebs, and he wants to raise up Calebs in this church. He wants to raise up people that are saying, yes, God, we can go forward. And so the issue wasn't fear, it was a lack of trust. And look at how they define themselves compared to the enemy. We're like but grasshoppers to these giants. We're nothing. And that's exactly what the enemy tries to do. He tries to attack the identity that God is giving you. He makes you feel like you're nothing. Man, God, I've failed in a lot of places. Well, I want you to go do this. Go up there and stand up there and speak to the people. God, do you not know where I come from? Do you not know the issues that I deal with? It could be as simple as going to pray for somebody in a store. I don't know if I could do that, God. What am I going to say? What am I going to do? I'm only but a grasshopper. I'm only but this small. I'm so insignificant. God is looking for people that say yes, no matter the obstacles. The different spirit says yes, no matter the obstacles. And it's really hard to say yes to faith when there's something broken inside. You won't be able to respond in faith until you stop listening to brokenness. Having a different spirit is choosing God over self. God, I don't think I could do that. It costs too much money. That's too much stuff you want from me. I don't have enough gumption to go that far. But you know what? I'm going to go for it. Man, I deal with this brokenness every single day. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I'll wake up and I'll just be angry. Sometimes I'll feel worthless, right? I'll wake up just, I got beat up by yesterday pretty good. And my pillow kind of helped out a little bit too by punching me. And I wake up feeling broken. But I just don't settle for that. I just don't settle in, I'm broken. What's the point? I begin to turn on worship music and I begin to ask the Holy Spirit, what do you say? It's always different than what I say. He always defines me differently. And so the big thing is stop listening to brokenness. Stop listening to those past traumas and those issues and those habits, those things that suck you back in, the things the enemy makes you feel like, yet just a grasshopper. And begin to get the word of God, get God's thoughts in your life, because those thoughts will give you favor in the midst of your enemies, will give you favor. And I want to say this. We talk about this thing in church. It's called strongholds. Strongholds is just a military term, and we use it kind of in a negative context in church most of the time. But it's allowing the enemy to set up camp. Essentially, a stronghold just means a fortress. Doesn't let anything out, doesn't let anything in. And so a stronghold is allowing yourself, or you giving authority to the enemy to set up camp in your life. And so when the word comes to you, God's promises come to you, and he says, hey, I want to do something good in your life. You know what? It's not getting in. It doesn't penetrate. You hear it, but you're not able to hear it. There is a stronghold set up there. And there's, as my time in ministry and being around the church, I see that there's actually a spectrum of strongholds. And over here, we have people who are feel insignificant or have insecurity issues and things like that. Maybe they deal with anxiety or fear things. And then over here, you actually have physical captivity where you hate yourself so much that you're actually hurting your body because you despise yourself. One is really an internal thing that God is trying to change into you. The other one's physical captivity that he has to free you from. And let me say this to you. I know there's people in this room that need deliverance. That there's things in your life that are literally holding you back to before serving God. You're hurting yourself, or you're thinking in a way, or you're hurting others. Right? There's this physical captivity that he has on your life, and I believe in deliverance, and we want to pray for you today. And so after service today, we're actually going to have our prayer team up here praying for people that need some deliverance in their life. Not only that, is that Donnie Watson actually started a ministry in our church called Inner Healing, and that's on our app. You can go to the groups page and sign up for that as well. And I want to say this. Just like Israel, they're free from captivity, but the enemy never stopped trying to steal away what God was trying to do in their life. And you could be set free today, but the enemy is not going to stop. He's going to try to come in through the back door or the side window. And so what you want to do is not just get free, but begin to have the tools to push back the enemy and what he's trying to do in your life. And so we want to make sure that, yes, you need to be set free. You do, but at the same time, right, there is this practice in which we live in freedom. And so I want to put some resources or some tools for you guys to that first part, that internal part, to not just get free, but to hold the enemy out of your freedom, to kick him out. And so the first part, you need deliverance, but the second part is this, that we have to stop thinking like slaves. We have to stop thinking like broken people and start believing what God is saying to us. And so here's how to overcome a broken spirit, but this is with the assumption that you know Jesus. You'll never fully be free until you give your life to Jesus. Yeah, you could go to therapy, go ahead, and you may know how to cope with it, but becoming who God made you to be doesn't happen until you set your life free with the one who has the keys. You need to be set free in ways you don't even know maybe right now because you're so familiar with how you lived in captivity that you don't know that there's a freedom that Christ has for you to a new level. So this is the assumption. The tools that I'm going to give you is that after this is assuming that you've already made this decision. Jesus set me free. I give my life to you because you're going to give me the right identity. So this is how to protect your freedom. This is how to continue to stay inside of a different spirit, the resolve to say yes to God rather than the broken spirit. The first one is this, very simple things. First one is hearing. And I ask you a question. Who are you listening to and what does God hear from you? I was talking with Pastor Sylvia about this point, and she said something pretty insightful to me that I believe she heard from another person where she said, one of the greatest things you can do is discern the different types of voices you have going on inside you. And it's this idea of capturing thoughts. There's things that my self-talk says about me that destroy who I am. Do you guys do this too? You incriminate yourself. You begin to use all these different things to push yourself back to what God is trying to do in your life. Capturing those thoughts. There's thoughts of comparison, thoughts of guilt, shame, past faults, fear. Capturing those and begin to submit those to God. And stop listening to them. Stop listening to those. There's a second part is the grumbling versus the groaning. In Exodus, it says that God heard the groans of the people. This Hebrew word is cry. He's heard the cry of the people. And God was moved to compassion because of the cries, but the grumbles began to harden the hearts of the people. When you begin to grumble towards God, you begin to say, God, your character isn't what you said it was. You're not as good as you say you were. When you begin to grumble against them. And in Hebrews 3 and 4, if you read this, the chapters in that book, that the people of God weren't able to move into the promised land because they were always grumbling. They grumbled so much that their hearts became hardened towards God. What's on your lips? Is it, God, help me. I need your help. I know you could do it. You're the Savior. Or you're like, God, you never come through for me. Everybody else always gets the good stuff. Why? I feel like you're trying to take everything that I like and everything that I want. And you're incriminating the character of God. What's on your lips? The second thing is this, digging. There's this chapter in Genesis, chapter 26, and Abraham's son Isaac, this is after Abraham passed away, Isaac was living in this town that was going through a famine, and he tells Isaac, go back to your father's land and begin to dig up the wells so that your household has enough for them. And he goes back and he begins to dig up these wells. Every time he dug up a well, you know what happened? The enemy came against him and tried to steal his well. But you know what Isaac did? He kept digging. He dug three different times until he was able to settle by a well. And I say this, digging up your family wells, because there are some traditions that have been passed down from generation to generation, some habits that have been passed down from generation to generation that are stealing God thoughts from your family. When I was growing up, it wasn't a common practice in my house to pray. We prayed and when we went to church on Christmas and Easter, but we didn't pray in the morning, we didn't pray at night. And I've heard a long time ago, Chad, I want you to dig up your family's wells. I want you to position your family in a way that they can have the refreshing nourishment of the Father. And you need to show them, you need to start pulling out some of those things that have covered up your wells. And so what I started to do with my family is that we pray in my house. Not just we pray, I show my children how to pray. Every night we say, okay, here we go, let's pray. Say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, forgive me. And we begin to show them how to pray. Why? Because I want my children to access the well. I want my children to have the refreshing nourishment of the Father. And so I'm going to dig. I'm going to set up traditions that allow my family to drink from the well. Joshua, when he conquered the promised land, at the end of the whole thing, they actually finally made it in there. Joshua, who is the military leader at the time, is a very familiar passage. A lot of Christians like to quote it. But he says this, everyone's like, go and claim their land and stuff. And he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so there will be a time where you need to establish and dig up for your own family. Last thing is this, and whoever's closing us out instrumentally can come up here. But it's the last thing is to live courageously. Do you trust God more than your circumstances? You're not going to see giants fall if you cower back. Are you willing to look stupid and lay it all on the line? Are you willing to open up your pocketbook? Are you willing to do all these things? Are you willing to say yes to God, even though it may sacrifice you some things you like? Like I said before, we're asking during this season to pray, give, and to go. Those types of things don't happen for broken when if you respond to the brokenness inside you. The way those things happen, the way we say yes to the Spirit of God, the way we say yes to the work of God, is if a different spirit that says, no matter what, God, and you have to be courageous. The early church was built on courage. One of the first people, Stephen, the first martyrs, Stephen is preaching to the Sanhedrin, saying of all these different things, preaching the gospel before him, and he gets stoned to death. And you know what that does to the church? It gives them a new zeal. They're persecuted by the governments and the culture. And you know what it does? It gives them a new zeal. It actually says that they began to have joy and to rejoice because of their persecution. When you're courageous, right, God can turn it around for you. Would you guys stand with me? It says this about Caleb. Caleb's the guy that quieted everybody down. He said, hey, we could do it. We could move forward. And it says this in chapter 14. This is after God gave judgment on the people of Israel. He says, you guys want to go back? Great, go back. And they wandered in the desert for 40 years until they died. But he says this about Caleb, the man who says, I'm going to have a different spirit. Says this, but for my servant Caleb, this is God speaking. Because he has a different spirit and he followed me fully, I will bring him into the land which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. Everybody else is wandering in the desert dying, and Caleb says, I'm going for it. And it was that man's decision to say yes to God, to say, God, I'll go through anything. What did he do? He not just brought him, he brought the rest of his family to possessing it. Some of you guys are praying for your family members, but you're not saying yes to God. Let's start saying yes to God and see who begins to be set free. Let's see who begins to walk into the promises of God. And you have to say yes, and there has to be a different spirit in you to say yes in the midst of that, because he's going to ask you to do some difficult things. He's going to ask you to pray for some stuff that you're not sure about. He's going to ask you and send you into places that you're fearful of. But when we possess that inward spirit that says yes, then we begin to see the manifestations of God's kingdom right in front of our face. So, and I'm going to be serious about this. I just want us as a church to make a commitment before God. And I'm going to ask you in a second to raise your hands, to raise both your hands, just kind of to surrender to God. But if you want the different type of resolve, the different type of spirit that Caleb had, and you are going to say, God, I'm willing to live courageously. God, I'm willing to do the work. I'm willing to dig. I'm willing to do all the things that say yes to you. I'm willing to listen to you, even though there's other voices on me. So I'm ready to hear. I'm ready to dig. And I'm ready to be courageous. You just begin to raise your hand to God. And if you're not serious about it, it's okay. You don't have to raise your hand to God. You're making a commitment. God, I'm willing to go forward. And so, Father, we're raising our hands today because we want to be the Calebs of this generation. We don't want to stand back, Father, but we want to begin to look the giants in their face, begin to look at the enemy in their face, and begin to push them back because we see that the favor of God is on the people of God. And so, Father, we're standing today. We're believing that today, Lord. And so we move forward today, no matter how many things are in our way, no matter if those things look bigger than what we are, Father, we move forward because we trust you. We trust you, God. And so today, God, I pray, Father, that you would begin to give us our steps forward. God, that we would stop cowering back and that we would be a Caleb who would possess a different spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like to invite the prayer teams forward. And if that's you today, that you need some deliverance today, you need God to set you free. If you want to say yes to Jesus, I would invite you guys to come up so that we could pray for you, so you'd be set free. And with that said, I'll see the rest of you guys later. But don't miss it. If you need prayer, please come up. We have a whole team up here ready to pray for you. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the message, and we hope to see you on a Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. Visit us online at kchamford.com, and if you want to support our ministry, click Give. Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.